I said, it has been a long time since I've done this. This morning before coming here, me and Carrie talked about that. It's been about 5 years since I've given a lesson anywhere, other than short invitation talks and Lord's Supper talks, but not a full lesson. It's been a good 5 years. I think 2017 was the last time. So I have many excuses to give you on why I didn't do that. Who am I to preach? What shall I say? Would you believe me when I was preaching? I'm not a good speaker. There are better speakers in this room right now. Who could do this better than me? Anyone else God sent could do this better. Anyone. Those are excuses, right? Some of you might be thinking, these sound like familiar excuses. I've heard these excuses from someone else. And you have. If you turn to Exodus 3, you'll see Moses give these excuses to God. These very same ones. Who am I? What shall I say? What if they don't believe me? I am of slow tongue and slow speech. Send anyone else. And that is our lesson for this morning. It is a great lesson, I think. This is about excuses. And it's today being our resolution. We are all pumped up about making resolutions. Tomorrow is the day of excuses. Why can my religious resolutions not make it? So let's look into it. When God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he called him to the task of leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. In response, Moses gave him excuses that we just talked about. The excuses of Moses and God's response to him will serve our study this morning. In a familiar way, in a similar way today, God's people do the same. How often do we make these same excuses when we go to preach the gospel, to talk to anyone about God? Ours, calling, is not to deliver the people from physical bondage. Ours is to deliver people from sin, to teach them about Christ. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Peter Chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are a special people. We are chosen. Like Moses at the burning bush, we have been chosen to go and spread the word of God. The background on this, let's go ahead and open it up to Exodus 3, verse 1. At the burning bush. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush was not burning with fire, yet the bush was being consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside and see this marvelous light, while the bush is not burning up. When the Lord saw and he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their outcry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, and bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. That is the mighty task the Lord has given Moses here, to deliver his people from one of the most powerful nations on the planet. One single man to do this. That is a mighty, mighty task. It'd be like doing that today in Russia or China. Think about all the people who are oppressed and going there and freeing them. Look at Moses' first excuse in verse 11. What does he say? But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Who is this Moses that we're talking about here? This is not a normal person. This is a man who grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. This is somebody. Now, it's been 40 years since he's been in Egypt. He's 80. He's a little old. He's probably a little slower than usual. But he is still someone. He would know how to communicate with Pharaoh. He would know how to interact with him. But Moses is looking at it like I would look at it. I'm a little old. I don't know that I'm the man for this job, boy. There's probably somebody better. Who am I to do this? It's been 40 years since you've been in Egypt. But look at God's response in verse 12. He says, "I will certainly be with you." It's the end of the conversation, right? We can end this whole conversation right there. God says, "I will certainly be with you." That's enough. Right? We can all say that today? That'd be enough for us? God promised to be with Moses. And that alone should have been enough. As Paul, writer in Romans 8:31, says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" That should be our attitude today. If God is with us, who can be against us? Trying to excuse ourselves by believing that we are insufficient for the task is wrong. While surely by ourselves, we would be insufficient. But we are not by ourselves, are we? As we just wrote about, if God is with us, who can be against us? God can make us sufficient. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. It reads there, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." We are not enough. But we have the Word of God. We have everything that we need to be sufficient to go and preach the gospel. We have the tools. We have the capabilities. Through Jesus, God helps us. Look at Matthew 28, verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We have God and Christ with us, right? What more do we need? What excuse can you come up with from here? What is it? What else can you say? What's the next excuse on the list? Moses gives it to us. Number two excuse for Moses is, "What shall I say?" What am I going to talk about? What am I going to say to these people? That excuse is found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and what will I say to them? The God of your fathers has sent me to you. That it may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" What am I going to say to these people? How many of us have been in a gas station line and thought, "You know, here's a great opportunity to talk to somebody about God. They seem open about it, you know?" And we just don't, because we don't know what to say. Or somebody at work, or somebody randomly down the street, and we just don't do it, because we don't know what to say. It's an excuse. We know what to say. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and become a Christian. Right? Christ died for your sins. Believe on that. Do those things. And you can have eternal life. We hope of eternal life. That's enough, right? Basic message of the gospel. show us. Moses knew that people of Israel would have questions. Who sent you? Why should we leave a place that we have called home for 400 plus years? Why should we leave this place? Because you say so? Because you think we should? And again, God's response to Moses is quick. Look at Exodus 3:14-15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is the name for all generations to use to call upon me. Again, the conversation's over. God has given Moses everything that he's asked for, right? Up to this point. Two excuses not to write down. These are really simple ones. Again, we can have a similar excuse. As we just talked about. We try to say our knowledge is inadequate. We're not studied enough. We're not smart enough. We don't know what to say. I would bet everyone in this room is having a conversation about God. God has told us what to say, and it's really quite simple. Look at Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Simple as it can be, right? Black and white, just simple and basic. How simple is it? Yeah. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul writing here says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which you have also received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Again, we have the information. We have what we need to preach the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:2. Look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Simplest part of the whole message. Christ came, he was crucified for me and you. Here's the remedy, right? Here's how we get to where we need to go. Two excuses up, two excuses down, right? Who am I? What shall I say? The third excuse, and probably my favorite excuse on this board. Suppose they will not believe you. Some people will not believe you. This excuse of Moses is found in Exodus 4:1. It says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Another great excuse by Moses here. He is trying and trying to get out of this one. Suppose they will not believe me. He knows what to say. He knows who has sent him. What's his problem? Why is he making this excuse? Is it the fear of failure? Is he afraid of having such a monumental task and not being able to complete it, that he's afraid of failing? This is not an easy task he's been given. It's not an easy task for us today. Has he already forgotten that God's promise to be with him? And this conversation is just really quick. God has already promised to be with him, has already told him what he'll say, has pretty much knocked down all the excuses so far. And Moses still says, "Suppose they will not believe." God responds with equipping him with several convincing proofs. He gives him the rod, which will turn into a serpent. He gives him his own hand, which will turn into leprosy. He gives him the water, which will turn to blood and dropped on the ground. If we will, turn to Exodus 4 and pick up at verse 2. We'll read all these proofs that God has given Moses together. It says, "So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, 'Now put your hand in your bosom.' And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, 'Put your hand in your bosom again.' So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out in his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be that they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, they will believe the message of the latter sign, and it shall be. But if they do not believe even these two signs, will listen to your voice, then you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. That water which you take from the river will become like blood on dry land." More excuses being knocked down. God is showing Moses how to do this. He's giving him signs to work in front of these people. Today we have that same problem. Going out and preaching the gospel. If this was a blind vote and I asked you to raise your hand if you were afraid to go preach the gospel, and raise your hand and no one would know, some of us would raise our hand. For the fear of failing, of reaching someone. Right? It's tough out there to preach the gospel. It's not easy. But just as God gave Moses convincing proofs, he is giving us the same. Now, we may not have a rod that turns into a snake, or a hand that turns into leprous, or water that turns into blood, but we have the word of God. We have the proofs there. The word of God is able to produce faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." John writes in chapter 20 of his gospel in verses 30 and 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We have the virgin birth. We have all the signs and miracles that Christ did. We have the resurrection. We can point to these scriptures and show that Christ is the Christ. I should have said Jesus there. Sorry. With all these evidence that we can show, we can build faith. With even the most unbelieving atheists, we should be able to build faith. As we were discussing yesterday in the house for a minute, without faith, this is impossible. You have to build someone's faith to get them. It doesn't matter how studied they are, how well they know their Bible, if they have no faith, you're preaching to the wind. We have what we need. We have no need to be inactive when it comes to preaching the gospel. You would think by now, having three excuses knocked down, Moses would be ready to go. God has answered every question, every excuse that I have with an answer. Not Moses. Moses says, "I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Slow of speech and slow in tongue. I don't talk real good, is basically what he's saying. How am I supposed to talk to these people? Where did Moses grow up? Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. This man was educated. This is not a normal person here. This is an excuse. This would be like a Harvard professor coming in here and telling us today, I can't talk. I have no desire to talk to y'all because I don't talk like y'all do. It just wouldn't be right. Moses, this is an excuse. This is probably his worst excuse to him. We find this excuse in Exodus 4, in verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God's not moved by this objection at all. He already knows the inability of those he calls. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. And so the Lord said to him, Who has made a man's mouth? Or who makes him mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You think the Lord didn't know who he called? You don't think the Lord couldn't have handpicked anyone on the planet to do this mission? At all? Anyone on the planet Earth at the time could have been picked to do this mission. God is able to make up for anyone's shortcomings. Again, if God is with us, who can be against us? Again, God promises to be with Moses. Look at verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. God has been more than reassuring with Moses, right? Now go. I will be with you. I will teach you what to say. Can't get any more basic than that, right? Again, this conversation should be over. This should be, yes, sir, God, here I go. Let's go. This is a really easy conversation from here on out. But God even goes a step further. He has arranged for Aaron to be Moses' mouthpiece. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, This is not Aaron, the Levite, your brother. I know that he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be like a mouth for you, and you shall be as him as God. That excuse is done. It is done. God not only said, I will be with you, and he's also provided him a mouthpiece. So that excuse is over. Today we use that. We use that. I don't know how to talk good. I don't know what to say. How am I going to say that? He might be way smarter than me. I don't know if I can reach him. He's studied. He's a scientist. He's a this. He's a that. She's a this or that. They're just too smart for me to talk to them. That's an excuse, right? It's an excuse. I don't talk too good. Then it's not the Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Paul didn't come with eloquent speech. He didn't come with that. He came with a simple message. Christ crucified. In verse 2 in that same chapter, he says that. I came to you with Christ crucified. I didn't come with excellent speech or flowery words. I came to you with a simple message. Paul didn't care how good he talked. He was just there to preach about God. In that same chapter, look at verses 3 and 4. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I wasn't there flattering you with fancy words. I was there to get the message done. This is what Paul's saying to them. My preaching was not beautiful. It was not anything more than what it should have been. That is what he's saying here. I didn't come to flatter you. I didn't come to tickle your eardrums. I didn't come to make you feel good inside with my words. I came to give you the message. And this is what Moses should have done. I'm sure we all know people who don't talk so good, who are doing a really good job of preaching the gospel in other countries. Or arrange Bible studies. Right? There is no reason for us not to be able to reach out with the gospel. We have no excuse here. Like Moses has no excuse here. As we've been through these four excuses, who am I? What shall I say? What if they don't believe me? And I don't talk real good. What are these really? What are these excuses? These are all just giant smoke screens. Right? These are all giant excuses, for lack of a better word. Look at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13. And this is the real reason. The real reason. But he said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send." Send whomever else. How many times have we wished that someone else could just go do what we need to go do? Please let them go do it. I will sit right there. I will be comfortable. I will kick back. I will watch them do it. Send someone else. I got to be honest with you. If I was in Moses' situation, I probably want God to send someone else too. This is a task. This will be a task. Preaching the gospel is a task. I know there are some second and third generation preachers' kids in here who will tell you that their fathers and grandfathers probably had a tough time preaching the gospels throughout their lives. It's not an easy task. When you think about the parable of the sower, you get one good soil. One. Preaching the gospel is not easy. It will never be easy. But we should not make excuses for not doing so. Especially this last one. Send someone else. Send anyone else. Moses simply didn't want to do this task. How often do we find ourselves with that same feeling? I just don't want to do this. I have the ability. I have the responsibility. But I'm not taking that opportunity. I have been guilty of that for the last 11 months. I think we've been back here since February, somewhere in there. I've had encouragement from brothers. I have thought about it, and I have made excuses. Jonathan's here, Reagan's here, Mark's here, Clay's here, Bubba's here. There's a politician, a chemical engineer, a preacher's kid, two preacher's kids, and Plant Manager right here. They are all better speakers than I am, and the mayor of the area. They are all better speakers than I am. They're all better studied. They're all this. They all know what to say. They are all better than me. That's a cop-out. That's an excuse. Every one of them have asked me. Every one of them has encouraged me to do this. And I'm not. My excuses were, Terry's pregnant. We got a lot going on. We're some bag. I'm not really studied real well. Haven't done this in a long time. This message to me really hits home. But look at God's response to Moses here. Look at Exodus, the first part of chapter 14. First part of verse 14, chapter 4. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God was mad. He's heard enough. Right? He's heard enough. Look at verses 15 and 17. And look at how it's no longer he's asking. God's no longer asking now. Look at the anger here. It says, "Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with you, your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth to you, and you shall be as a God to him." Look at that. God is no longer asking. He's demanding. He's not happy. He is done with this conversation. He is telling Moses, "You shall do this. There's no more. This conversation is over. It's time to get started." Right? Everybody see that there? "You shall do this." Brother, the same ring is true with us today. Any and every excuse we offer is just a smokescreen. It's just a smokescreen. We have no good excuses. We have no good reasons not to preach the gospel, to go out and share it. Would we really want God to send anyone else to do a task that we can do? Would we really want that? We all can do it. Do we really not want to do what God has called us to do? Think about what God has given all of us in this room who are Christians. He gave us a son that we may have freedom from sin, the hope of heaven. He's blessed us all richly, more than we can ever pay back. And we don't want to do the simple task of telling someone about the gospel. Now, compared to Moses' task, our task is a little more simple. A little more simple than going to free a bunch of people from a gun country. Our task is to preach the gospel. And brothers and sisters, like Moses here, if we don't do what God has asked us to do, his anger will be killed against us too. And our punishment will be a little more severe. We have to look at this with the severity that it calls upon. We've heard the excuses. We've all probably used these excuses. Right? If we've been making excuses not to do these things, we need to repent. And to be honest with you, as always, this lesson is to trade first and you second. This one hit me right in the face about 8 years ago. When I walked into a little church on Touchstone Parkway about 2 weeks after my first visit there. I had been debating all week on whether I should become a Christian or not. Should I be baptized or not? I gave myself all the excuses all week. Why? Why should I? What does it benefit me? What am I going to do if I do become a Christian? I've done this long without being one. Why me? Who am I? Why do I deserve God's mercy? Right? I'm not good enough. I can't go preach. I can't go do these things. But luckily, someone, in a very different way, presented this lesson. He gave me this lesson about excuses. And I realized that day, like I realized about a week ago, I was all out of them. I had no more excuses. I had to go. One way or another. I couldn't sit on the sidelines and watch anymore. I had to do something. In conclusion, we know the rest of Moses' story. We know that Moses leads the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. We know what happens to him. We know that he answers his call. What about your story? What will your story be? Will you be known for reaching out, spreading the gospel? Will you be known for giving all glory, praise, and honor to God?
Will you heed that call to preach to the lost? That's the mission statement, right? To seek and save the lost. As a church here, that is what we're supposed to be doing. Number one priority. Or will we make excuses and suffer the wrath of God? Those are our choices, right? To heed the call or to suffer. Only time will tell. And I pray that we run out of excuses. If you're in this room today and you're not a Christian and you know that Christ came to this earth, He suffered, bled, and died for you, and was resurrected, what are your excuses not to be Christian? You know what is right. Or if you're sitting in the back, you've been hiding something that you need to get off your chest, don't come with another chief today. Come up to the front. Let us pray for you. Let us make it right with God. Tomorrow's not promised. Like I said, I hope you're out of excuses, as I was. If you need any of these things, we ask you to come front as we stand and sing.